Jesus. Our hearts are open. Our ears are open. Speak to our hearts and cause us to walk accordingly in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy is a state of being that everybody wants to constantly be in. I don't think I've ever met anybody I don't think there's anybody in existence on this earth right now who doesn't want to be joyful, who doesn't want to be happy, who doesn't want to be cheerful, or who doesn't want situations around them that will make them cheerful. It is so serious that even people don't even want to associate with people that are probably always gloomy or always sad. Or, you know, it is easier for if I come here and say, oh, let's, you know, there's a party somewhere. Talking about just general cheerfulness. If I say there's a party somewhere, let's go. I'm sure that a lot of us will be what? Excited, right? If I say, why? Because, well, it's an atmosphere for rejoicing. It's an atmosphere to give thanks. It's an atmosphere of joy. If I say, oh, something great happened. Somebody built a house. Somebody got married. Somebody has a child, right? Everybody will be excited. But if I should come here and say, somebody lost something, who wants to follow me? Or somebody lost someone. Does anybody want to go with me? You see, everybody will just turn their face like, I beg. I don't want to go into such, I don't want to go and find myself in such a situation. Because some people will say, what will I say? You know, not that we don't want to, you know, help the person in that particular need. But then we're also looking at the fact that, you know, by the time we leave the place, we'll be sad and we'll be sorrowful and we'll start thinking. So generally, everybody wants a happy place, right? Praise God. Is there anybody here that doesn't want a happy place? As in, you don't want to always be happy. If you are, then you need to come and let us check you if you are normal. Okay? So even the Bible tells us that he that sits in heaven shall do what? Shall laugh. You know, it is God's pleasure to make sure he himself wants to always be joyful. He wants to laugh. He wants us to be happy. Okay? And like I said, even under natural circumstances, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants things to happen to them that will bring joy to their lives. So what is joy generally? Joy is full of cheer. It means cheerfulness. It means gladness. It means delight. It is a state of well-being. It's a state of well-being. It's a state to thrive. When you thrive, you will be joyful. Praise God. But there is a difference between, people usually mix it. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Okay? Happiness is an outward expression of joy. Joy is a state of being. So somebody can be happy and not generally be joyful. You can be happy because happiness is controlled by elements, that things that happen around you. So happiness can be momentary. It can be something that happens now and, well, it has brought some element of delight. Okay? But just like we were talking about this morning, if you're in Bible school, what Pastor was talking about, being content, that there is nothing that is materialistic on this earth that has the ability to make us constantly joyful. The best it can do is to make us happy part time. Praise God. So we always want to try for more, right? You are in school, you want to go get admission into university. You are happy when you get the admission into the university. You are happy about it. Well, yes, I finally got an admission. Then you enter school and the lecture starts and you're like, oh God, the same school that you were joyful about or happy about, you were suddenly, school pressure comes and you cannot eat and then you have exams and you have assignments and you just, oh, I'm tired of all this nonsense. It's as if I should just finish. When I finish, then you now finish and then the wonderful school system that we have, oh, you finally graduated. Then they post you to go and serve. And God will help you. They now post you to a place like Kebbi. When you hear that the posting letter is out, you smile. You're happy, right? Then when you see, you're like, oh, Jesus. Then what? Okay, you heard that Kebbi is not that bad now, amen. When you hear that, people are laughing like, okay, so when you heard that posting letter is out, you were excited, right? But then, when you now heard where you were posted to, then okay, you now eventually go to where you were posted to. You are happy with the 3 weeks camp. Then what happens? They post you off to a village where there is no light, there is no network. Then what happens? The happiness again dies down. Then you manage to do your 1 year service. And you are just praising God. You know, you give the thanksgiving. I thank God I finished my 1 year service. I'm going back home to meet my mommy and my daddy that have been calling me. Then you get home 6 months, no job. Can you see that there is nothing in this world? There is nothing that can particularly, that's what we talked about in Bible study this month. There is nothing that is built to give us contentment or to make us joyful. They can bring momentary happiness, delight when you see it. The one pastor talked about is you were walking and then you trusted God and said, God, I need a car. And you got a car and you were happy about the car. Until when you now see somebody driving a bigger car or a better car. Like he said, you see a bigger car passing beside you and there's no noise and you're only sitting boo, 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 boo. And you're like, oh God, if I could only get that car. But do you know that even if you get that car, you will still want something else that is bigger. Praise God. No, it is our nature to always want something more. It is not bad in itself. But I'm saying that joy and happiness, being in a state, joy, being joyful is a state of being. Is a particular state of being. Just like how you are a female or a male is a state that you are in. Being joyful is a state. Praise God. So, joy can come from people. You know, the people that we meet around us. Somebody meets somebody, they want to get married. Wow, that is a joyful scenario. Joy can come from friends. Joy can come from divine connections, right? You meet somebody and the person is able to connect you to something good. So, joy can come. Or happiness can come from people, from meeting people. Happiness can also come from occasions. Okay, you got a job, you're getting married, you have a child, you build a house. A particular occasion can bring, you know, happiness. Happiness can also come from things, material things. Material things that we possess. You buy something today and you're happy about it. You buy a new phone and you're happy about it. Well, a couple of weeks, months later, you're wishing you could get something else. Maybe when the phone falls or something happens. Okay, so in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, we see God constantly instructing people, his people, to rejoice. We see God constantly telling them to rejoice, to be thankful, to be joyful, and to be deliberate about it. Irrespective of what they are going through, in the Old Testament, God would always give them commands to rejoice. He would tell the barren woman, rejoice. He would tell the children of Israel, rejoice. And we must ask ourselves, why did God consistently, what are the things that God consistently told them to rejoice about? Most of the time, God will give them a word. Before the actualization and manifestation of that word, God will tell them to do what? Rejoice. He would give them a promise. And after giving them the promise, even before they see the manifestation of the promise, God will tell them to do what? To rejoice. He will tell them to be joyful. He will tell them to give thanks. Amen. So rejoicing was and is always an active part of thanksgiving. Rejoicing is always an active. It was, it is, and it will always be an active part of thanksgiving. Rejoicing. So you can't say somebody is thankful about something and they are not rejoicing. How do you know that somebody is happy about something? You will see it, right? You will see it. You will see it in their expression. You will hear it in their words. You will see it in their body language. If somebody gets something here and wants to stand and give testimony, from the way the person is doing, you will know that this person is happy about something. It can even be contagious. Somebody just comes in and, you know, he's just excited. You're supposed to be like, oh boy, what's happened now? So you're just, you know, so you're just laughing. Oh yeah, tell us now what happened. Because it is, you know, it is visible. And if somebody is also extremely gloomy or sad, you will know. It is also what? Visible. Everybody, are you okay? What is wrong with you? Then you hear the normal nothing. And from your nothing, you can see that there is a big something. So these things are things. So when somebody is naturally, you know, in a state of thanksgiving, when somebody is happy about something, when somebody is joyful, either happy or joyful about something, it is something that we see. Okay? And it attracts a lot. Who will you naturally be endeared to meet or to work with? Somebody who is cheerful or somebody who is gloomy? Somebody who is what? Who is cheerful? Because when you are sad or gloomy, the Bible, Jesus, he said, you know, that when part of the things he said he came to destroy was the spirit of heaviness and spirit of depression. He said, I have come to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness. So throughout the Old Testament, we'll look into the New Testament, even when God, when it seemed as if things were grim, God would still tell them, be what? Be cheerful, rejoice, be glad, be happy. If not for anything, for the words that I have given to you. Because once you are sad, once you are gloomy, once you are, that means that you are saying that you are allowing whatever it is, what affects, you know, your state of being. And once it starts affecting your state of being, there are things you will not be able to receive, both in the spirit and physically. Do you know that people's countenance, now this is just even a, people's countenance have even made them lose things. Do you know? Somebody wants to help, and then once they come around you, and you're just always looking like, they'll just move. And like you rightly said, everybody wants to be around somebody who is always what? Who is always happy. So in the Old Testament, God would always tell them, rejoice, be glad, be cheerful, remember my words, and be happy. So let's check Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, I'll read verse 17 to 18. Now, this is the New Testament. It says now, you know, Jesus came and was talking to us about a kingdom, the kingdom of God. He said, when he told his disciples to go out, he said, go and tell them that the kingdom of God is near to you. The kingdom of God has come unto you. He said, if I cast out demons, you know, if I cast out demons, it means that what? The kingdom of God has come unto you. He was always talking about what? The gospel of the kingdom. So now in Romans chapter 14 verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and what? And what? In the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So Romans said, they're telling us that the kingdom, the rulership of God, the power of God can be summed in these three things. In righteousness, in peace, and in what? Joy. You almost want to imagine that of all the things, how come joy is put in this? And not just joy in anything, not joy in material things, not joy in the things that you receive, not joy in the people or occasions, not joy in the material possessions that you have. It says joy in what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the definition of the kingdom of God. So a person that has the kingdom of God, a person that is an embodiment of the kingdom of God, must have this three. Not one, not two. It is easy for us to say, oh, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I have peace because God has come unto me. But you see, the expression of righteousness and peace is what? It's joy in the Holy Ghost. And like we said, you can't have joy and we will not see it. You can't have joy and we will not feel it. You can't have joy and people will not come around you and know that there is something here. So the true expression of righteousness, the true expression of peace, the true expression of the kingdom of God is joy. But it tells us the joy in who? Not joy in what you have or what you don't have. Not joy in circumstances. Not joy in a job or a marriage proposal or a car. Those things can bring happiness, like we have said. But they cannot give you a permanent state of mind. And for you to be able to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom, you have to have this permanent state of mind. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Acts 13, verse 52. Acts 13, verse 52. And it says, and the disciples were filled with what? And with who? So you see that, especially in the New Testament, oh, there are so many scriptures. In the New Testament, whenever they brought around joy, they did not tie it to the possessions that men had. They tied it to who? One person. And who is that person? It is the Holy Ghost. So the question is, what is your joy hinged on? What is your joy hinged on? Do we see you happy today and excited today because of your salvation? And then tomorrow you are downcast because you feel that you've not received what you think is the parameters for your joy. But the Bible tells us, as believers, our joy is hinged on who the person of, and who does the Holy Ghost represent? The Holy Ghost represents the finished works of Christ. The Holy Ghost is a reminder to you that you are saved. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption that makes you cry out, what? Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost is one who reminds you that you have been redeemed. The Holy Ghost is who reminds you that you are sanctified. The Holy Ghost is who reminds you that you are righteous. The Holy Ghost is the person that reminds you that Christ has done everything on the cross. The Holy Ghost is who reminds you that truly it is finished. It says the seal of your covenant. The Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father to you. It's the seal that you hold, just like when you go and get married and you have a certificate. It is that certificate that has been given to you that you are now in the kingdom of God. That is who the Holy Ghost is. So the believer doesn't have any reason to be downcast, because you have the person that carries the whole entirety of God in you. You have the answer to every problem, the one that has happened, the one that has not even happened. You have the answer already in who? In the Holy Ghost. So David asked, he said, why are you downcast, oh my spirit? Why are you downcast? Because your joy should not be determined by what happens to you externally. Your joy is determined by who you have inside. If a man stands up, if a child of a big man, let's say the child of the president, rises up and is doing something, he doesn't just do it because whatever he wants to do, if he goes out and he wants to go and get something, you are not a determining factor in what he wants to get. The fact that he knows where he's coming from, the fact that he knows his name and he knows the child of who he is, that is the confidence he has. When he goes out, especially in our beloved country, you can imagine the child of the president. He wants to go somewhere or do something. Do you think he will think of you as a blockage to what he wants to have? Do you think he will think of you as even an element to consider? He will not. Amen? Are we together? Why won't he think of it? Because he is carrying something that is heavier than you. He is carrying a name. And he is coming from a place. So he goes out with that mentality, the consciousness of who he is. And that is how he talks. So when he meets you, he's not asking you if you can. He gives you his name and tells you to do what he wants you to do. Is it not so? Okay, let's not even go far. If you are working in a place and the boss or the child of the boss comes around, you don't treat the child of the boss the same way you would treat every other child. You don't. Amen? There was a story of a boy that was in school. A new teacher came to the school. Or he was a new child that went to the school. I don't even understand. I think he too was pretty new. And he said the teacher was telling them in class to keep quiet. Stop making noise. And everybody still continued making noise. I don't know whether the boy was making noise or not. But probably he was. And after a while, the teacher got angry and said, oh, all of you, kneel down in the class. And everybody knelt down. I think the boy was still in primary school. So he was, I think, you know, between maybe the age of 5 to 7 or something. And the teacher said, everybody kneel down in the class. Everybody knelt down and the boy refused to kneel down. You know, a teacher went to me and said, are you okay? I will flog you. I said you should kneel down. The boy stood there. He didn't kneel down. So the teacher was like, you are trying to prove as if you are stubborn. I will flog you. So carry the boy. Because at the point he said, even he was a bit afraid that this one I'm telling this small boy to. You know that kind of, you are still making mouth, but deep inside you're like, come on. This one that this boy is just, you know, and the boy stood and said, and told him, I am not going to kneel down. He said, oh, so you are talking to me like that? You know, someone was like, you are talking to me like, I will deal with you. But he did touch the boy. I will deal with you. So he carried him and took him to the principal's office. I said, I told everybody to kneel down. Everybody knelt down in class. And the boy refused to kneel down. So the principal was like, are you all right? Why didn't you kneel down? The boy stood and said, I am the son of the Oba of Benin. I don't kneel to anybody. Uh-huh. So both the principal and the teacher just gave themselves sense, respect. That's the only thing the boy said. Just, okay, please go back to the class. Go and sit. If I do anything you want to do, if you want to sit on my chair, say, I'm going to sit on my chair. If you want to put your leg on the table, put it on the table. But the boy was not shaken by anything that was happening outside because he knew who he was. He had a title on his head. Physically speaking, the boy was not different from any other person in class. But the thing that was different is that he knew where he was coming from. And he knows the blood that flows in his veins. But really, if you even check the blood, it's not like the blood is redder, more red than any other person's blood. It was just a consciousness of the title that he carries. So he goes out with that mentality. So he doesn't shake, no matter what you think you are doing. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how big the mountain, no matter how big the teacher is, he wasn't moved. If the teacher was as small as Auntie Grace or as big as Bro Freedom, he still was not moved. Because he understood the title that he carried on his head. So when the Bible tells us that the kingdom that we carry, our joy is in the Holy Ghost, the joy of the believer. But nowadays, we allow circumstances determine what should bring about the happiness we have. Because really, if you sit down and meditate on the promise of the Father that has been given to you, you realize that there is nothing in this life, there is nothing that should ever make you downcast. There is no reason, both physical things that you have or things that you do not have. Nothing. So some people get depressed because they lose something. Some people commit suicide. Economic downtime. Something happens and you just see people doing what? Killing themselves. Even some believers. It's because we have not come to understand that the joy we have, just like the salvation we have, the way it is not premised on physical things, the joy we have cannot be premised on physical possessions. Because take everything a believer has away. If he has the Holy Ghost, he has it all. He never lost anything. Job, with all the things he lost, he didn't even have the Holy Ghost resident in him. But even though he was in the Old Testament, because he loved God, all the things he lost, he got back hundredfold of those things. He got them back. So we see people being pressured by society, pressured by culture, pressured by parents, pressured here, pressures there, pressures of you don't have a job, pressures, and you can't get carried away. But you must constantly remember. Hey, you must constantly remember who you have and the child of who you are. That is what will make you rise up every day. That is what will make you face every mountain that comes your way. And once you see the mountain, you know that there is actually no mountain there. Because no matter how big the mountain is, the person inside of you is bigger than any mountain. It's bigger than the biggest. No matter the circumstances or the person or the occasion or the cause, there is nothing. That is why our joy is hinged in the finished works of Christ. Is hinged on the finished works of Christ. These things are things that are there. Constantly remind ourselves. I'm sick in my body. But is there health in the finished works of Christ? Yes, there is. I don't have this particular thing. I am believing God for it. Is that thing provided in the finished works of Christ? It is. So is there a reason to be downcast? No! I'm looking for direction in my life. Is the answer in the finished works of Christ? Yes! I'm looking for exposure in my business. Is the answer, is the wisdom for that thing in the finished works of Christ? Yes! I'm looking for a child. Is it in the finished works of Christ? Yes! Is it provided there? Yes! I'm looking for excellency in school. Is it provided in the finished works of Christ? Yes! And who is the evidence of that? It is the Holy Ghost. Because everything that we will ever need is given to us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And that person is not just with us. He is in us. He is in us. So at times, I wonder at times, even God is looking at us. When you don't have something, then you are sad. And God is like, oh boy, do you know? Do you know who you carry inside of you? Do you know that you have the answers to everything? Even the ones that have not come. And that is a cause to be joyful always. That's a cause to wake up in the morning. Even when there is no one kobo in your pocket, you are joyful because there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. And that hope is in the Holy Ghost. That God, Jesus Christ, was living. And he said, it is expedient that I live. Because if I don't live, the Holy Ghost cannot come to you. Because when Jesus Christ was here, he was limited. Because he was only one person. Jesus Christ couldn't have been able to minister to everybody because he was only one man. But he said, I have to leave. Because when I leave, then I can open the floor for the Holy Spirit to indwell millions at the same time. That is something to be joyful about. That is something to shout about. The one thing we have to shout about is the life of God that we have inside of us. But we play down on it. And that life can give us anything we need. A man that knows who... There are two things. A man can have the Holy Spirit and still not live a life of fulfillment because he does not know who he has. But a man that has the Holy Ghost and knows who he has, the world is too little for such a man. It's too little. So at times we shout and cry over little things. When the answer has always been inside of us. Hallelujah. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is also joy. To tell you that the Spirit, they said the fruit of the Spirit is love. After love is what? Joy. Because when somebody is in love, or when somebody is love, one thing that you always see is that the person will be joyful. Just be the person just smiling. There's someone that is just falling in love. That one is even physical attraction. It's not the love of God. Amen. Love of God is far deeper than that. But you just imagine somebody that, you know, a lady or a guy that just got, you'll just be radiating you. Have you noticed it? Imagine what is it? You just, nothing will happen. They'll just be smiling. Amen. No, now let us talk now. Don't you know that is it? Even you, if you've ever been that, you just sit down, you'll be smiling. That's when they'll say that butterflies in the belly. Your heart is just merry. Eh? Oh Jesus, you're just smiling, you're walking around the street, you're smiling, but did you win a lottery? No, you can't even explain it. Amen. You just see it, just like how Bro Freedom was, you know, smiling yesterday when he was talking about his marital status. You know, he was just saying, I am happily married. And then once he said it, the joy crossed out, everybody too had to just smile. Praise God. So these things, so even if it is just a physical, you see a boy and a girl just, you know, enter the relationship, or someone that is just newly married, they're just, you know, just glowing. At times it might not even be a physical smile, but you just see something about them glowing. I say, you are looking different. Someone say, you are looking fairer. It is to tell you the power of joy from inside. It radiates all around you. And it attracts blessings. Let me give you a sidetrack. See, all this... doesn't attract anything. Even physically, it doesn't attract anything. Spiritually, it does not. When you are down, have you ever noticed when you are sad, it is difficult to pray? It's difficult to see anything in the spirit? It's difficult to read your Bible? Have you noticed? Because that is the state the devil always wants you to be sad, to think that things are not working out, to think of the negative, to be pessimistic about everything. It cannot work out. Oh, why is this one happened to me? Oh, why hasn't this happened to me? Oh, why hasn't... Those things will keep you constantly what? Down. And even in the spirit, you will not be able to attract what you're supposed to be attracting. Because even in the physical, nobody wants to even associate with you. You say that person, that man or that female, that she's all that when they're trying to describe it, say, oh, that brother that is always, his face is always strong. And even on the physical, it makes you look old. I'm serious. I've seen some people that are like, way younger than me, if I stand beside them sincerely, if you didn't know I was married, you come and ask me out before you ask them out. Looking so, I said, what? Why are you always? Life is not this difficult, though. Even spiritual things, it's not everything you are in the spirit. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Laugh. The Holy Ghost is not that. I don't know. Jesus. I don't know your kind of relationship with the Holy Ghost, though, but he's very humorous. Sincerely. He will talk to you on a level. He will joke with you. All this. The Spirit said. You can also smile. The Spirit said. It even gives more effect. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord can still be upon me, and I'm laughing. You didn't say burning in the Holy Ghost. There's laughter in the Holy Ghost. There's no burning in the Holy Ghost. I've been giving us some. You're just on the road. Bless you. You can also bless me with a smile. Bless you. I even feel the blessing more. Bless you. This life is not that. Hey, there is laughter. You can imagine when you say there is. That in itself is a strong weapon. Laughter in the Holy Ghost. You pray to the point where you begin to laugh. It's a sign of victory. It's joy that comes from inside. The joy that you remember what Christ has done. That is what the Holy Ghost. He said, when I go, one thing that the Holy Ghost will always remember, he will bring up to your remembrance the things I have said. He will not bring anything new. He will come and remind you this thing that you are troubling yourself about. Christ has done it. Then you stand up and you are rejoicing. I was watching a video that Pastor Chris did. You know, he was trying to do an experiment. He called about people believing and being joyful when they pray. He said, do you believe that when you pray, you know, God answers you? Everybody, do you believe God hears you? Yes. Do you believe God answers you? Yes. So, okay, all of you that have a prayer point, come outside. And they all came before the altar. And he prayed, and they prayed. And when he finished praying, he prayed for them that God bless you. All the heart desires, God will give it unto you. He said, go back to your seat. Then he said, people just stood up. And not they say, I saw it. People just stood up and they were going back. He said, come back. He said, can you see? You just came to kneel down. You said you believe that God has answered that prayer. He said, and you stood up. They are going like this. From your countenance, we've already seen that you actually do not believe. But if, for example, I was praying for a million naira and I knelt down and a million naira dropped on my, is that how I would jump up? When I stand up, is that how I would like to go, like, I have a million, I already have the answer. Is this how I'll go back? He said, that means that you actually did not what? Believe. Because if you believe you have received, it will show in your countenance. You will stand up and you will be joyful. You don't have the physical evidence yet, but you know. Hey, that as long as the Holy Spirit has told you, as long as Christ has provided it in his finished works, then it is done. So that is why you go about life with a high shoulder, with your face looking up. You don't go looking down because you know the Son of who you are. And you know that there is nothing, past, present, future, that Christ has not settled. You can imagine that kind of life where you are walking around knowing that there is nothing impossible for God to do. And not just that there is nothing impossible for God to do. God is so concerned about your life that he will move mountains to bring his word to pass in your life. That is a reason to go to sleep happy. A reason to jump up in the morning. Jump up in the morning. Some people go to sleep happy. Then they will have a dream. That they had when they were unconscious. Then they will wake up sad. When you allow external things determine your joy, your state of being. Our state of being is a state of righteousness. The same way you are always, is there any time where you are not righteous? You turn off the righteousness, but you now become unrighteous. And I say, okay, maybe when I'm sleeping, I'm unrighteous. Then when I'm awake, I am righteous. You turn it off like bulb. You put on the lights. Is there any time like that? That you are ever unrighteous? The Bible says you are. It is a state of being. So if you are righteous, if you are constantly in peace with God, because of Christ's sacrifice, you are coming to peace with God. That means you should always constantly be in a state of joy. Joy is the expression of who you really are. Hallelujah. So let's check Philippians chapter 1 verse 4. Oh, shati vanate. When we finish, you will pray. You will look at that thing and you will remind it what God has said. And you will be joyful. And every time that thing comes back, you will remember what Christ has said. So how do we, Philippians tells us how to make our request. It says, always in every, it said, verse 3, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. It says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with what? Why does he make requests with joy? Why does he pray with joy? Because as he's praying, he knows that there is a God that hears. Not just a God that hears, a God that is willing to answer. Far beyond what you can think, what you can imagine, or what you can ask. So you're asking for A. God will do more than A. He will do, he's willing to do A to Z. Far, far above. So when we make requests, we don't make it grudgingly. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But with what? Prayers and what? With. He says, make your requests known with joy. Because you are already, you are going to prayer, you are going there. Your gate when you are going to prayer is with joy. You know, going to meet somebody and already knowing that this person you are going to meet, I'm already going to meet Ima for this book. And I know that as I'm coming, Ima is already extending the book onto me. I know it. So I don't come downcast because I know before I even get there, he's already extending it. So he says, when you make your request, make it with what? With joy. Some of these things are basic principles we don't understand. That is why we don't get prayers answered. Or answered prayers. Because we go gloomy and we live gloomy. And God is like, why are you gloomy? See the thing. Because it is even with joy that you are able to draw. Because you are gloomy and Ima is extending the book. But I can't see it because I'm sad. So I finish and I leave the place. I still don't collect the book. Because I have not come with what? With joy. So Philippians 1:4 tells us to make our request with what? With joy. Then let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1. Oh, Shati Venante. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. The Bible also tells us that in afflictions, we should always what? He said, these people received the word with afflictions, but with joy. Remember Acts chapter 4, when the disciples were reprimanded and they were beaten and they told them never to preach in the name of Jesus. The Bible said they went back, they were rejoicing because they counted themselves worthy to be flogged for the sake of the kingdom. Now, let me explain. Affliction is not sickness. Praise God. God does not afflict you with sickness. Anything that Christ has taken on the cross is not, you are not supposed to tolerate that one. When sickness comes, when death comes, when all those things come, it is from the devil. You deal with those things with the power that God has given to you. But afflictions, when you have to make decisions for Christ, they come and tell you to do something shady. And you know that this thing is against the law and against Christ. And you say, I cannot do this thing. Joseph was under affliction because Pharaoh's wife said, sleep with me. And he said, how can I do this? Hear his first reply. How can I do this against God? Then against my master. That is affliction. And then what happened after that? You would think that, oh, God will just come and revenge him. He was what? Thrown into prison. The three Hebrew boys were afflicted because they refused to bow to the graven image. So affliction is not going to say, you are doing something wrong. You are not saying that you are being afflicted. No. Or you are sick and you say you are being afflicted. That is not affliction. Affliction is when you are being condemned or when you are being segregated for standing for what is right. For standing on what Christ has told you to stand on. Praise God. But don't go and do funny things in the name of standing on what Christ. So somebody will see an old man and say that I believe this person is a witch. I'm going to be cursing somebody. You say that person is a... Don't try all that nonsense. Because at times, what I'm saying is that sometimes people take these things to the extreme. And they will not say, I'm being afflicted. You are the one that caused... Like somebody was... Digression. Somebody was, you know, giving an explanation of crosses. Somebody asked a question in a meeting. And Reverend Tokes was the one that answered the question. The man asked about curses. It's a deviation, but I believe you learn from it. He was asking about the fact that his father was into, I was in that meeting, that his father was into Ogboni cult and all those things. And when the man died, he is a believer. The cult people came and asked him and said, not asked him, and told him that the mantle of your father has landed on your head. So you have to pick it up. And he said, no, Gaskia, I'm a believer. I don't believe in all those things. And they went back and forth, back and forth. And they were doing, everybody was doing, power, power, power. But he said he noticed something, that once he left, they did the burial. In fact, all the rites that they were supposed to do, according to their cult, he refused it. He buried his father. Normally, they were angry. And they, you know, they did all those, we'll show you. He too, like, yes, I'm here, I'm waiting for you. When you are doing things like that, no, be sure you know who where you are. Hey, not that you don't have the Holy Ghost, but just be sure that you know who you are. So they went and they dealt with him. He got back to his base and things just went upside down. You know, so he was trying to ask a question that, you know, we say that these things don't have effect on us. So the man answered, the man said, do you know why that thing had effect on you? You believed in their power. You believed it. Said, if you did, he said, do you know that there are people that are not even believers, that don't believe in all those things? And it does not work on them. There's a lot that has to do with your belief. Once, as he said, the things that you experienced, you started connecting it to those people. And you gave them room. You gave the devil room to now afflict you. He said, there is nothing that is like a curse on the believer. The believer that carries God. This is now where he now joined. He now said, well, you'll be stupid. If you're not saying because you're a believer, maybe you see an old person, just maybe splash water on the person, nothing will happen. You say, Kai, if that man should curse you, that one will land on your head. That you don't go about doing stupid things. Say things like people that are old, people that are older than you, you just rubbish them. You see your parents, you slap them. Say because you're a believer. That one, that curse will hug you. It will manifest in your life very well. Praise God. So we don't do things anyhow in the, do you understand? Although we have liberty, the liberty is still under the law of the Spirit. And there are laws of the Spirit. If you read the epistles where Paul was saying that when you're talking to older people, talk to the older ones as mothers, as sisters. You don't do things anyhow and expect that nothing will happen to me. Now, the truth is that really nothing will happen to you in court, but you are opening up your, you are the one through that action that has opened up what? A road for the enemy to do what? The way you slapped him, the enemy too will come and do what? And you know if a demon slap you, it's different from if you slap somebody. Praise God. That was just a deviation, but afflictions. So it tells us that when we are going through these afflictions, we should do what? We should be joyful. Because we are going through it for who? For God. For the sake of the gospel. So when you have to give in the house of God, it might be like an affliction because you need that money for something else. But God has still told you to do it. You give it and you are joyful. A lot of people also give things without being joyful and they are not able to reap their reward because they are grumbling. Because they grumble. So, let's take James chapter 1 too. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. James chapter 1. Verse 2. What does it say? My brothers, can we read? Count it what? Count it some joy. Count it what? All joy when? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. You will fall into temptations. But it says still count it as what? Joy. Because the process of that thing is working. You remember last week when we talked about working in you. It is working in you. It is building up your faith. It is building up your patience. Praise God. So why are we also joyful? We are joyful because we have the life of God. Yeah. We are joyful because we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 15. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, Jesus. This life. And this is the record. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us what? Oh, Jesus. Are you seeing it? Let's read again. He said, and this is the record. This is our testimony. That God has given to us what? Is that how you are saying it? As in eternal life? Eternal life is not just a life that does not expire. It's an incorruptible life. It's the life that you have. It is the same life of God that you have. No other being can possess this life. Not animals. No other being. It is only you. And not even every human being will possess this life. Because you have believed, you have been given eternal, the same essence of God has been given to you. He says, this is our testimony. This is our record. That we have eternal life. A life that is incorruptible. A life that is forever, everlasting. The life of God himself. He said, God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Let's check verse 13. It says, these things have I written to you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have what? Oh God. That you may know that you have what? He's writing these things to you. You already have it. But he says, I want you to know what you have. That you have eternal life. Tell your neighbor, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. So what is that mountain before you that eternal life will not swallow up? What is that valley? What is that challenge? Is it money? Is it marriage? Whatever it is it wisdom? What are you looking for that is not already provided in eternal life? He said, even angels look upon these things. They are looking at you and say, Kai, these people are enjoying. He said, people of old, they held on to this promise. They are looking at us now, the cloud of witnesses, and they are cheering us on. Because we have what they have been looking for. They waited for years and they died. They still didn't see it. You have it. I have it. Eternal life. So verse 13, it says that you may know that you have eternal life and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So how do I activate this joy? We say this joy is in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is inside of me. Let's check Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, Shikita. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, Jesus. Verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated, Ephesians chapter 4, 18, from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, no? Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye from now on walk not as others Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, having the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness and greediness. Okay, that is not the scripture I'm looking for, but I'll still pick out something from this, from verse 18. Ignorance. One way that the devil will constantly make you feel like you don't have it all is to make you ignorant. Remember the scripture we read before now, 1 John chapter 5. He said that you may know. I am writing these things to you to remind you of what? Of what you have. So the consciousness of the fact that you carry the Holy Ghost, the consciousness of the fact that this Holy Ghost is the evidence to you of everything that Christ has done is the major thing you need. Then the other one is praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 tells us, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Your faith is tied a lot to the expression of your joy. Now, the Bible did not tell us that this joy in the Holy Ghost will come. The joy in the Holy Ghost is already part of the kingdom. Meaning that the joy in the Holy Ghost is already where? In you. What you need to do is to do what? Pull it out. And one major way, first thing, is what? The knowledge and the consciousness of understanding who you have and what you have inside of you. Then number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost will help you praying in the Holy Ghost, studying your Bible. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you take time to listen to God, He will bring to your remembrance. Remember what Jesus said. He will bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said, what Jesus has done concerning that particular issue. He will give you directions in alignment with God's word. And then you begin to see the manifestations. But even before you see the manifestation, you rejoice. Because when God has told you in the spirit, rejoice. It's a done deal already. So we rejoice. We are joyful because we remember who we have. Meditation. Meditation will help us constantly remember. Just the same way, if I tell you to take 2 minutes now to sit down and think. A lot of us, some people are still standing now. Today is the 12th of December. And still saying, oh, there are so many things I wish that God would do for me. Or I wish that God would have done by now. But if you would take a minute, if you take 5 minutes, if you take 10 minutes to remember the things that God has already done, you will realize that the things He has not done are minimal. They are. If God can still sustain your life and preserve you, what is that physical possession that He cannot give? Life and physical possession, which one carries more weight? Which one is more easy to, which one is more difficult to sustain? It's life. So if He can give you life, what else? I want you to close your eyes this morning. Hey, Yabakai. And you're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, oh, joy will well up inside of you. Because this joy is in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Nobody can give you this joy. You can't wait for, some people wait until when they are married. That's when they want to be joyful. Some people want to wait until when they have children. That is when they want to be joyful. Some people want to wait until they have their results of their academics before they are joyful. Oh, but we have reasons to be joyful. Because you have eternal life. Yeah, yeah. Hey, because you are the child of God and you have a title upon your head. Because you have the spirit of adoption. Where you can cry, Abba Father. You have the privilege to be the child of the God of the whole universe, of the creator of heaven and earth. He said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. What doesn't belong to God? What is it that God cannot give to you? Why equate God or diminish God because you feel that there is something that He has not given to you? Oh, can you imagine what He has already done for you? Open your eyes and look at what He has done. Look at what He has done already. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. See what He has done. And remember what Christ has done for you. Oh, you are the one that He has called redeemed. You are the one He has called sanctified. Ah, you are the one He calls righteous. You are the one, irrespective of your mistakes, He calls you righteous. He calls you His joy. You are the image of person on the earth. Is there anything more bigger than that? Ah, there is nothing that can be equated to the wonders of His love. You are the one He has poured out the entirety of His love on you. Only you. And if it was only you on this earth, He would do it. We don't have to go about looking gloomy. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And He is our joy. We have the life of God inside of us. We have the Zoe of God, not the life of animals, not the life of plants, not the life that the unbelievers have. We have the life of God Himself. It's reason to be joyful. Ah, see what He has done already. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, see what He has done already. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, see what He has done already. Yeah, manatea. Oh, I've got joy. Yeah, yeah. I've got joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. My joy is not dependent on things. My joy is not dependent on people. Oh, my friends are doing this. Oh, my friends are doing that. My joy is in the Holy Ghost. Because in the Holy Ghost, I have life. In the Holy Ghost, I have wisdom. In the Holy Ghost, I have that thing that is a challenge. In the Holy Ghost, there are no mountains. There are no valleys. There are no crooked ways. All I see is God. Oh, I feel unloved, but I have love in the Holy Ghost. I feel unwanted, but in the Holy Ghost I have it. Everything we need, we desire, God has given to us in the person of the Holy Ghost. There is no reason. No reason. I lose my job today. I have not lost it all. I lose my home. I lose my furniture. I lose my possessions. I have not lost it all. I still have God. That is the greatest possession you can have. He is the only one I have. Even when I am married, I don't have my spouse. My spouse cannot be with me 24/7. I don't have my children. God is the only person you have as a possession. He is inside of you. All I have is you. And that is enough reason to be joyful. Jesus is all I have. God looked at Abraham and said, I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your reward. I am your possession. Why put so much emphasis on external material possessions that will rot when you have the eternal possession himself in the person of the Holy Ghost? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hey, I have the Holy Ghost. I have life. I have some way. I am not at a disadvantage. I cannot be limited because of the person I carry. I can never be limited. Even when I think I am limited, I can never be limited. Because I carry him. Even the devil is afraid of me because I carry God. I am conscious of who I am. I am conscious of who I have become. I have become one. He that is joined with the Spirit is one. There is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing that a believer cannot do. The same way there are no limitations with God, there are no limitations with the believer. Because the believer is the carrier of God. The believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The believer is the ark of the covenant. Oh, in the old days they had to carry an ark up and down, and they feared the ark. But now you are the ark. You are the ark of the covenant. Your hands are his hands. Your eyes are his eyes. Your lips are his lips. Your legs, your feet, they are his feet. What other privilege is there on this earth? What other privilege is bigger than being able to carry God himself? This is the source of my joy. This is the reason why you will never catch me gloomy. This is the reason why I will always rejoice. This is the reason why I'm always radiating, because his glory is inside of me. I have become the expression of that glory because I carry the Holy Ghost. Hey, because I carry the Holy Ghost. Oh, because I carry the Holy Ghost. Oh, shante baluz kadente shkilada do sataya. Lembre tosatande belishka lezo zondo balisha taya. Le bobo sataka lisa nente shina manon tasia. Lebra tosatande belisa taya.